Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Thursday, August 22nd, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have my lovely panelists, starting with John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hey, Kelly. Good morning.
Glad to have you with me. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
And our first topic today is we're going to talk a little bit about 5G and the current state of it. And part of that includes a discussion about the Sprint T-Mobile merger and what they are planning to do. Now, John, this was a thing that you were talking about this morning, right?
Yeah, I was focused on, well, I think Charlotte wrote the article this morning on the focus on 5G home. And then that got me curious about what was going on. So I went back, retraced my steps and found out that what was happening with the proposed merger between T-Mobile and Sprint was a agreement and a promise by the merged company to take on wired competition as opposed to focusing on wireless competition with Verizon and AT&T. That's still there. What they promised to do was build out within 5 years a 5G home network and to try to take on the wired cable industry. And so at the time, I had glossed over that because I must have been busy with other things. But this is an interesting and intriguing agreement. Of course, it's pie in the sky. And the Verge article that we're going to put in the show notes explains basically the whole thing. The idea is that when you reduce the number of players from four down to three, that doesn't increase competition, which is what the FCC wanted. But the palliative on the by the merged company was, yeah, but we're gaining competition against cable internet, and we're going to take that on with 5G. So it's a glorious promise, and we'll see if they can do it.
Well, one of the things that they say on this website that they built, newtmobile.com, you can read a bunch of statistics and things there. And one of the things that they point out is that they want to bring competition to broadband, like you said, and they want to have 9.5 million households by 2024 using their in-home broadband. And they talk about how they plan to be the fourth largest ISP by 2021 in order to do that. And the number that stood out to me on this list was 29% of U.S. households have no competitive choice for in-home broadband faster than 25 Mbps. So that was another thing that I thought was interesting. Like, the FCC is worried about all these other things, but you know, a third of the U.S. has no alternate option for internet service, including me. And
that's a compelling argument by the merged
company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But one thing I'm curious about, and I haven't yet researched this, is what is going to happen with the home service. No doubt your mileage may vary in that the short wavelength of 5G doesn't travel very far very well and doesn't travel through structures or even rain very well. And so the engineers at these companies have probably been working furiously on how to set up an infrastructure and an antenna structure that will service homes. Still, it's going to have to be in highly populated urban areas where most homes are. Mm-hmm. And I expect that for a long period of time, even though they make a big fuss about home service, there'll be rural areas that still won't be able to take advantage of 5G.
Well, and that is another thing that they talk about, is they want to expand what, I don't know exactly what this is, but they call it rural wireless service. And they want to expand rural wireless service to provide coverage to reach 59.4 million rural residents, which sounds like a lot of people and sounds like a lot of households.
That might have been part of the deal, because there's a history of AT&T and Verizon not servicing rural customers.
Yeah.
Sherry Tipkin wrote a big article about that last spring, and I had her on background mode to talk about that article. Her parents live on a farm in Iowa, and she started researching rural broadband, and it was in a really sorry state.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty terrible.
If the merged company can promise to fix this situation as well, that would be another gateway into the merger.
Well, and the part to me that I wonder about is, like you were talking about with antennas, you know, one of the things about 5G is distance. Like, it doesn't go very far. And one of the things that I know, having grown up in one of these rural areas that probably in most cases still doesn't have internet, you know, where I used to live, the thing that I wonder is, like, everything there is far away. And everything, you know, is very spread out across vast distances. You know, that's why it takes forever to get anywhere. And so I wonder, you know, if one of the sort of features, options, you know, parameters of 5G is that it's short range, then how are you going to get it from my house to the house to my neighbor's house? Because nobody really lives next door to me. I live on property that is adjacent to property that someone else owns. So, you know, when I was growing up, I only had neighbors in the technical sense. And, you know, you couldn't see another house from my house. And I wonder how that is going to be solved with 5G.
And I'll make a prediction right now. My whole life, I've been involved in project management wherever I've worked. And mm-hmm. the rule of thumb is double the cost and add 10%. So what happens is, in order to win the blessing of the FCC, managers probably set up a business model that specified how much it would cost to provide rural and other home internet service. Mm-hmm. And you can bet that that's an underestimate for the, because it always goes that way for political reasons. And what's going to happen is that the merged company is going to find out how much money they're spending on fulfilling this promise, and they're going to cut back on spending, and then there's going to be a big fuss. But the merger has been a fait accompli. So, you know, rinse and repeat. We'll just start the whole process over, complaining about how they're not doing enough for us.
Yeah, I can add like some color to all this.
Please do.
So, first of all, Ajit Pai is corrupt, and Ajit Pai loves to do whatever is best for the telcos. And
he's the chairman of the FCC, for people playing along at home who remember that name but can't place it.
Yeah. And, for instance, you know, he is the person who basically said the competition will take care of our privacy, which is just astoundingly insane. When, as John and you were noting earlier, there are huge portions of the country where there is no competition in broadband. Secondly, telcos, especially the wireless telcos, have a long history of promising the world and delivering a teacup of margarine. and the fascinating thing to me is that T-Mobile, and to a lesser extent Sprint, but T-Mobile in particular, has been responsible for a lot of innovation. Mm-hmm. What little innovation there has been in the American wireless space. And these two companies merging will give a lot less incentive to the merged company to innovate. And, you know, we're going to three major telcos, wireless mm-hmm. providers covering the United States of America, and there is going to be less competition, and the rural people aren't going to get diddly squat. I had to make sure I didn't say a different word. They are going to get diddly squat out of this. They're going to get diddly squat out of this. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. There's going to be all that less incentive now for any of it to change. And we still don't even know if 5G is going to, like, kill all the wildlife and destroy the bees. We don't know that. We still don't know that. It could happen. It could be really cool. I've seen some disturbing reports that I don't know if they're accurate about birds being found at the you know, surrounding of 5G base stations, but that may not have been an accurate report. I don't know yet.
We're going from a wavelength that's roughly, you know, 12 to 18 inches down to, you know, half an inch for all you metric people.
did you just give an imperial measurement and offer it for?
Yeah, I did, because I decided that it was going to be more understandable for the listeners.
Yay. I look forward to your letters. Well, the thing, on the one hand, Brian, I am inclined to agree with you because companies, But on the other hand, you were talking about T-Mobile being responsible for what for a good portion of the innovation we have had, which isn't to say that there's been a lot. And I think it's entirely possible that T-Mobile and, you know, John Legere in particular, finds this an interesting problem to solve, and they may actually do it. Maybe not at the numbers that are listed on this page, but they may actually do it just because he thinks it might be fun to do. And it gives him the opportunity to mess with other companies, which is a thing he seems to enjoy, because he throws a lot of shade at AT&T and he throws a lot of shade at Verizon. And I wonder if maybe this is just a way to continue to get to sort of poke at, you know, some of the other people that would be competition if they start doing home broadband. So I think it's entirely possible that he may just be like, hey, it'll be fun, and look at this extra list of people that we can upset by doing what we want to do, and that sounds awesome, you know, and that may be a good motivator for them. So I'm interested to see where this goes.
Despite the challenges, Kelly, of 5G and its successors, I just have this tech intuition that one day all of our devices will be directly on the internet. This idea of having a cable line strung across your yard, buried underground, drilling a hole in your house, coming into a cable modem, you know, going through a router, is old tech. And one of these days, every device we own will be directly on the internet. I just have this gut instinct.
And they will all be sharing unused CPU cycles. For more, read my novel once I finally get it published. See how I do there?
Yeah. Well played, sir.
Thank you.
Kelly, be sure to bleep that part out, because that was a promotional announcement.
Great. Now I have to edit. Well, while we're on the topic of promotional announcements, I have one of my own. The show today is sponsored by My Wall Street. And if you've ever tried to invest in the stock market, you know it can be complicated. And you know that it can be hard to find somebody who sort of wants to guide you into the stock market, give you some tips, help you figure out what are going to be smart investments for you. It's really easy to find people who want to take your money and put it in the stock market on your behalf, but it's not necessarily easy to find somebody who will help you understand it. So you go online and you look for information, and now all of a sudden you've become super overwhelmed, and it's really easy with way too much information to just sort of give up and decide it's not for you. Well, My Wall Street wants to change that. They have investors that work for them that have done loads and loads of research into different stocks and what makes for a good investment, what makes for maybe a not so good investment. And they have this list of stocks that they think are worth buying into. And they've grown, some of those stocks have grown fivefold since they ended up on that list. And My Wall Street is actually not a brokerage, so they're able to offer you something more like an investing companion instead of just a broker. And if you're a TDO listener, which you are because you hear me telling you this now, you can access the entire My Wall Street app for free for 30 days, as opposed to the usual trial of 7 days. So the way you do that is by going to mywallstreet.com/TDO. That's mywallst.com/TDO. Download their app, access all of the guidance and all of the advice, and then you can continue investing with them for $9.99 a month. And we would like to thank My Wall Street for sponsoring the show today. Now, our next topic is, John, this is something that you broke down for us, and it was iPhone 11 rumors and what we know, what we have heard reliably, what we think we know, what we want to know.
Informed speculation, varying sources of reliability. I was doing some reading yesterday, and I found a whole bunch of articles on what people think they know about the iPhone 11, and it's all over the map. So I thought I'd take my best shot at trying to consolidate what we think we know from these sources of varying reliability and sort of put a picture together in one page that sort of summarizes it. And then I also found a fascinating article about myths. People believe that because they see 5GE in their display, they already have a 5G phone. They think 5G is going to require more RAM, more storage. And some people think that 5G improves their screen resolution on their phone. So fascinating rumors and also some interesting myths.
Seriously?
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I mean, listen, I know that this is why we have jobs. And I appreciate the fact that I get to have a job, but oh my God, that makes me just like super tense.
So let's do a little quick rundown here. There's going to be three models, just like we have now. We have the XR, the X, the 10R, the 10S, and the 10S Max. There'll be three similar models. Okay. One case maker thinks it'll be the iPhone 11, the iPhone 11 Pro, and the iPhone 11 Pro Max. Screen size is the same. I think it's 5.5, 6.1, and 6.5, respectively, if I recall correctly, something like that.
Those three are the same dimensions as last year's.
Yeah, the same dimensions.
Correct? Okay.
Right. But the selfie camera goes from 7 to 12 megapixels and gets a better lens.
Okay.
The two top models that we've been seeing pictures of have a three-lens system. Before, we had two lenses. We had a regular lens, which was slightly wide-angle in a telephoto. We're going to add an ultra-wide-angle lens.
Okay.
Charging. Lots of sources are reporting that these phones will still have a lightning port, but they'll ship with a USB charger. In other words, the charger will have a USB-C port on it, and you plug the lightning port into your phone and the USB-C end into the brick, and you'll get more power throughput, and you'll get faster charging, and you'll also have that same cable. You can plug it into your MacBook Pros.
So USB-C the thing that plugs ports. Into the wall will probably be the thing that they're already shipping with the iPad Pro?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wall thing with a C port. Okay.
Battery capacity is expected to expand a little bit. What they won't have, none of these are 5G phones, folks. Apple will ship a 5G phone in 2020, a year and a month from now. As I said, what's confusing some people is AT&T's disingenuous use of that 5GE indicator that you may have seen on your current phone.
Which the FCC has done nothing about.
Which is actually 4G technology. Yes. And Sprint filed a lawsuit against AT&T for that. Mm-hmm. Also, the new phones are going to drop 3D touch. It turns out that it's been hard to discover by users, and that iOS 13 will use other methods.
You know what? It hasn't been hard to discover. It has been badly promoted by Apple and inconsistently so.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and hard to figure out what you can press on and what you can't press on.
And what you get when you do. That's the thing. Is like Apple has some stuff that does a good job of implementing 3D touch. If you have a phone capable of 3D touch, press into the phone app, and you get all kinds of interesting stuff. Press into the camera app, you get all kinds of interesting stuff. And
I agree with Brian, though. Brian's right. It hasn't been properly promoted and educated by Apple.
No, and people aren't using it, and it bums me out because I use it constantly, and I love it. Like, by far, a dramatic majority of the phone calls that I make are the same few people. And so whenever I have to make a phone call, I use 3D touch to go right to favorites and call somebody. And it's super quick. I use it to on the camera app constantly. I use it for the flashlight all the time because you can adjust the brightness of the flashlight. I use it for loads and loads of stuff. And it's always a little sad to me when I do that and somebody goes, whoa, what was that? It's fantastic.
There's lots of articles on the internet, like 10 useful features of the iPhone that you may have been overlooking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you should go read those because they're full of amazing little secrets and utilities and time savers and fascinating functions.
Yeah. And a bunch of them lately are 3D touch. And it's sad to me that people have been calling for it to be discontinued or saying it's dead. You know, because it seems like it never really got a chance, and it's great. Like, I have right-click on my phone, and it's awesome.
Of iPhone users surveyed, according to Apple Insider, the survey, 64% either didn't know when 5G was coming to an Apple device or believe it was already available on their Apple device.
Okay.
Only 9% were aware of the difference between 5G and 5GE.
Okay.
So that was interesting. So the bottom line of my article was about 1 in 4 iPhone owners are expected to upgrade because there's a lot of people out there, like you, Kelly, who have an iPhone 8. People mm-hmm. have an iPhone 10. Maybe they're ready to upgrade after 2 years. Apple is said to be ramping up to about 70 million units, which is less than 2018. But still, 70 million iPhones is $70 billion, roughly, give or take. And so customers are going to be getting a nice phone that's a little bit better than before. It's evolutionary, but not revolutionary and not 5G. And these are going to be nice phones. If you need one.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of always the caveat, really,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if it's time to upgrade.
And that's what, you know, that's what people overlook. I think some editors go off the deep end and say, well, because these changes are very small and incremental, that Apple's going to fail and Apple's going to go bankrupt and Apple's not going to sell any of these phones. And that's neglecting the fact that people who have iPhone 6s and 7s and 8s mm-hmm. and 10s are ready for a new phone. And when you're ready for a new phone, you buy what Apple's got. And yeah. this survey that Apple Insider pointed to suggests that people are not highly educated about this stuff. They just walk into the Apple store and say, you know, my daughter's got a 6S. Its battery's failing. This is the second battery we've been through. It's time for a new phone. What you got?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the new one.
What you got?
And nobody cares if they named it the iPhone 11 or the iPhone Pro or the iPhone Kermit. Like, it doesn't matter. People are just going to come in and go, I want the new one.
Well, Pro Max puts me a little bit on edge. I don't know if I'm ready to love that term yet.
I still don't love the names from last year because they were dumb, and we talked about it on the show.
There was no evolutionary path.
Right. And
where do you go from R and S? You know, back to C for color?
Yeah. Well, it should have been C in the first place. What does R stand for?
I know.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's my take on that. So, Brian, are you going to get one? Are you like most people, like when it's time for the new one, you're going to get it, and it doesn't really matter if its name is Christine?
Yeah, I'm on the next plan. AT&T's next plan. Speaking of AT&T, and I do generally speaking get a new device every year. Although for the last several iterations, it has been because of my job, as opposed to, oh my God, I can't live without it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm on the verge of the next plan. So, you may have to come back and talk about that and, give me a little counseling. We'll see if it's the thing for me. I bought my 8 outright and, I think it might be time, particularly if I want to start upgrading them yearly or more often, it might be time to, get on a plan like that. So, we will probably end up talking about that soon. In the meantime, let's go ahead and call it for today. I would like to thank both of you for being here. John, thanks so much for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for letting me know there are people who think that they're getting 5G on their phone and it makes the screen better. I could have done without that little tidbit today. also with me, Brian Chapman. Thanks for coming by, Brian.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us. Good times.
Glad to have you with us. And I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.